scripture, Ephesians. Chapter 2, beginning at verse number 19. I'm reading from the Amplified Version of the Bible. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse number 19. Therefore, you are no longer outsiders, exiles, migrants, and aliens, excluded from the right of citizens. But you now share citizenship with the saints, God's own people, consecrated, set apart for himself. And you belong to God, to God's household. You are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined, bound, welded together harmoniously, and continues to rise and to grow and increase into the holy temple in the Lord, a sanctuary dedicated, consecrated, and sacred to the presence of the Lord. In him, in the fellowship with one another, you yourselves are being built up into this structure with the rest to form a fixed abode, a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Amen. We talk about the building. God's presence in the church. The building. God's presence in the church. Talking about the church for these last. This is the third sermon on the church that I've stood here over the last month or two. Talked about the church a few weeks ago as the body of Christ. And Christ is the head of the church. If you don't get anything else right in Baptist theology, you ought to know that the pastor is not the head of the church. It's Christ's church. And then I talked about not only the church as the body of Christ, but I talked about the church as the called out community, the ecclesia, where God calls us out of the world to assemble ourselves together as the body of Christ, to send us out into the world to be Christ in the world. But today, I want to talk about the church as the building. That the church is the place where heaven and earth comes together. That the church is the local congregation that ministers to God's people in a community. And God gives us a picture. We try to figure out, well, what is the church? God gives us a picture so we can wrap our minds around this picture, the picture of the body of Christ, and the picture of Christ being the head of the church, and a picture of this called out community. And now he gives us a picture of this building where people are a part of the very fabric of the building. The building in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 22, you and I are being built. A very important word. Remember Christ says in Matthew, I will build my, upon this rock, I will build my church. And he's saying, the great purpose of God was to build a people, not just a building. God called people from Ephesians. He calls from Ephesus, and he called them from Asia. He called them from Jerusalem. He called them from all around the world. He called people. And not only did God didn't just call good people, he called lowlife. He drug addicts, prostitutes. He called liars. He called all kind of people to build his church. He called people that I wouldn't call. But the good news is, I'm not God. And, you know, it's hard for a man and wife to get along. Try putting 2,000 people together and ask them, just get along. Right. God called people together, a people in the local congregation, and he called us together, not just to come sit on the premises or stand on the promises. He called us to go out into the world and minister to his people. The image God wants us to be built up together. We're not built up. I don't care how long you've been in church. You're not where you're going to be. God is in the process of building you up. God is in the process of developing you. God is in the process of making you a better man and a better woman. God wants you to be better. And you sit there and say, well, hey, you don't know where I come from. I don't have to know. He does, but he's not through with you yet. He's not through with you. Peter, in second chapter, Peter says, that you and I are living stones. Christ is putting together a building, and each of us is like a living stone. Christ is putting us together. Paul would not think of building a building with bricks the way we build it right now. Got ready to build the Family Life Center. They got nice bricks. They all look alike, same size. But back in the day when Paul was preaching, they didn't have bricks. They went out and dug out stones. Big rocks, rough edges, some big, some small, and they tried to put them together. And that's the way God makes his church. He doesn't make his church with just good folk. He makes his church with Democrats and Republicans and a few independents. He makes his church with people who are different. We've got some that's been polished a little bit, but most of us still got rough edges. You don't believe you got a rough edge, just let somebody block you in the parking lot. Rough edges. Oh, yeah. We can dress up rough edges. We put robes on rough edges. We put nice suits on rough edges. But you and I, God is still building us up. He invites us to come to the church. Paul is talking about stones. Stones that look different. Different colors. Different sizes. Different beliefs. We got some ex-Muslims in here. We got some ex-everything in here. You know, John says, you know my story. Well, you might know his story, but we don't know your story. But I know you got a story. And I know, look at somebody and say, it ain't pretty. But God invites you into his building. You and I are living stones that have been hewn out of a quarry. And they come out, they have all kinds of rough edges. And a great master builder. How many of you know, if you ever had any work done in your house, and while the construction going on, it's a mess. Do I have a witness? Yeah. It's a mess. We had some construction, the mistake that we made when we had the construction going on in the house, we said we're going to stay in there. We should have got a hotel. We almost got divorced over the mess. Because, you know, they tell you, oh, it's going to be a week. How do you know? It might be 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and you got to live in the mess. When the world looks at the church, the world comes in here and they see us as a construction site. So-called Christians can't sit in that seat. That's my seat. We'll cut you over a seat. So-called Christians been in church a long time. Let me out. So-called Christians won't move down the line, won't move down the... So-called Christians, and somebody from the world comes in and says, that's where God dwells? I don't want to have no part of that myth. It's still under construction. Well, let me tell you something. The preacher can't put it together, but God can. God can take the messes of our lives and he can smooth out the rough edges. And the reason that you are here is not because you are perfect. It's because you have some rough edges and God has smoothed you out better than you used to be. And you have a testimony and somebody needs to rub up against you. And you need to remind them that God loves you in spite of your mess. And in due season, God will make something out of the mess. Church, you know, sometimes we go to these churches and they're showpieces rather than a construction site. You know, it's a showroom. Wow. Ooh. Look at those pews. Oh God, look at those screens. We get all excited about a showroom like it's a Cadillac there or something. But the church is a messy construction site. We're under progress. God is building us. God is making us. And every now and then, we might let out a little word or two. And so when you come to church, we ought to have a big sign out there. You know, sometimes when you go to the mall, they have these signs. Be patient with us. We are under what? We ought to put one up in front of Mount Olive. Be patient with us. We are under construction. God is still working on me. I'm not what I'm going to be. I'm not what I used to be. But thanks be to God, I'm in the house. Because there was a time when I wasn't in the house. You know, sometimes you say, you know, if we ever find a perfect church, you go to it, you're going to spoil it. I'll say, you ever find a perfect church and you go to it, you ought to run from it because it ain't going to do you no good because it doesn't have a testimony. It doesn't have anything to say about the grace of God. It doesn't have anything to say how God found you in a pig pen and picked you up and turned you around. You and I, we don't need a perfect church. We need a church that's still in the transforming business. I gotta tell you. I got a story to tell. Do you have a story to tell? When I go to church, I want to sit next to some other sinners. I want to sit next to somebody who's been through something. It bugs me sometimes when I go to these churches. Deacons ain't been through nothing. Deaconess ain't been through nothing. Preacher ain't been through nothing. If you ain't been through nothing, you probably ain't doing nothing. Because the church is a building. But it's made up of broken people. Because, you know, when you have that work done on your house. And Peter, you know, for a few weeks it's a mess. dust all over the place. All kinds of stuff. And you know, y'all know how impatient I am. The guy don't get there on time. Look like he's supposed to be there at 9. He starts showing up at 3 because he went somewhere else. It drives me crazy. Mess all over the place. You have to pray for me because I might tell him something. Sometimes my kids have to say, don't call him, Dad. Don't, please don't call him. But the master carpenter, he's got a blueprint and an architectural drawing that he knows, hopefully, he knows. He has in mind what the end product is going to be. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And even though it's a mess, and even though it takes time, and they've got all kinds of stuff and dust and all kinds of stuff, but if you just hold on, after a while, it begins to come together. Ah, I'm so glad that Jesus didn't leave the church in my hands. I'm glad that God didn't leave the church in my hand. He left the church in the master builder's hand called Jesus Christ. He is the chief cornerstone, and he can bring it all together. Do I have a witness? He knows the divine blueprint of your life, and he knows what he wants to make you and me. You just keep showing up at church. Show up. Because it's not in the preacher's hands. I ain't no master builder. I hardly know how to deal with a hammer or a screwdriver. In fact, I don't even know where they are. I'm no carpenter. There's been some stuff going on here in Mount Olive. I don't know about it. Somebody's been writing some nasty letters. Not to me this time. They don't sign the letters. And he's nasty, mean spirited letters to other brothers and sisters in Christ. And some of the people feel like leaving the church. I said, no, you can't leave the church over that mess. You know, and my humanity started coming out because I just want to know. I said, just who is it?
Yes.
But how many know it's sometimes it's best not to know everything?
Yes. All right now. That's the truth.
Because I'd wanna kick him out. Yeah. But God says, you ain't the master builder. Yeah. You ain't nothing but a stone yourself, Jesse.
That's right.
What right do you have to kick anybody else out? I'm the master builder. I can save that person. I can make something out of that person. I can develop that person. You just leave them alone and go preach my word. I'll do the separate. I am here to tell you, the ones that got that letter, don't you go nowhere. Stay right. Make them mad. Praise the Lord. Give him the glory. Give him something to talk about. You meant it for evil. God meant it for good. He can work it out. Do I have a witness? Yes, he can. He will smooth the rough places. He will make the crooked. If you're from South Carolina, straight. Church ain't nothing but a bunch of redeemed sinners. But God knows what's in you. And he knows how to redeem you. And that's why I said to you, if you ever go to a church with a bunch of perfect people, run. Don't walk. Hitchhike. Get out of here. Because you need and I need the church. I need to rub shoulders with somebody. I need to sit around somebody who's had prostate. You need to sit around somebody who's been through breast cancer. You need to hang out with somebody who's been through a divorce. You need to hang out with somebody who's having a rough time with their marriage. You need to hang out with somebody who's having a rough time with their kids. You need somebody who's lost their job and almost lost their mind. You need to hang out with somebody who's having trouble paying their rent. And you need to hear the testimony of how God has kept them in spite of themselves. You and I, you need the church. If you didn't have the church, you ought to try to make one. You ought to try to get together with two or three people who've been through something. Lord knows I'm not perfect. But we serve a perfect God. We serve the master carpenter. It's amazing to me. It's amazing to me how when they build these buildings. I remember, Deke, you remember this. When we built this Logan Center, they put the foundation in, but it was off by an inch, I don't know. It was off. And, you know, they send these inspectors around. The city sends these inspectors around, and they, as you go up, they will inspect the building. And so this building over here was off, and the inspector stopped. He says, you cannot continue this building until this is correct. And we had to go over this company and that company. We certainly didn't want to start all over again. Because that wouldn't mean we had to knock the, you know, if we had to start all over again, I said, we're just going to have a big swimming pool out there. we don't have the money to knock that thing down. We're just all going to learn how to swim. We're going to make the best of a mess. We found this company that was able to correct it somehow, and we got the approval. And God is not through with you just because the devil has had you for a while. God, in his infinite wisdom, he can work it out. He can change. He knows how to fit the pieces together. He knows how to make something out of your life. He knows how to change lemon into lemonade. He knows how to make a way out of no way. And once you come through on the other side, you ought to at least say, thank you, Jesus. You brought me from a mighty long ways. Thank you, Jesus. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, I never. Now, where can you get the gospel? Except in church. Can't get the gospel at George's. Y'all know it. Don't act like you don't know what it is. Can't get the gospel at your sorority or your fraternity. You get the gospel in church. You get the good news. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the master builder, the chief cornerstone that fits our lives together. And you know, the other thing I don't understand, like, maybe y'all's life is just so much better than mine. But mine is so messed up, I can't stay out of church forever. I can't stay out of church for 6 months. I mean, I work here every day and I still need to be here more. The worst Christian is in the world is a Lone Ranger Christian. Who think that they don't need nobody else. Worst Christian in the world, like, you know, I do my devotions, yeah. But you haven't rubbed against another struggling Christian. Self-talk is all right, but ain't nothing like somebody rubbing against you and telling you how they made it over. That's one of the reasons why Christ gave us the church, and that's one of the reasons why Christ continues to tell us, preacher, you are not the head of the church. I am. It's not your church. I am the chief cornerstone. I am the master craftsman in the church. I know how to take lives and mold them and pick them up and put them back together again and give them a testimony and give them a song. They may sing a song. It might be out of key, but it's in line with my spirit.